We're in Mark chapter 12, continuing in Mark chapter 10, which is on page 847 in the pew or church Bibles that we have in the back, if you pick one of those up. And that's Mark chapter 10, verse 46. We'll go ahead and read that. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just sang of your amazing grace that once I was lost, but now I see. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would show grace to us this morning, that we could perceive the truths that you would have for us to see this morning. Much like Bartimaeus came to Jesus with a need and was healed of his blindness, that when we are lost, we are spiritually blind to your truth, a truth about who you are and who we are before you. And I pray that you would give us eyes to see your truth and to grow in that this morning. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the story of the healing of the blind beggar Bartimaeus is seemingly a short and simple, sweet story. As Jesus is passing through town, Bartimaeus calls out to Jesus for mercy. Jesus hears him, calls Bartimaeus, and heals him. What I want to do this morning is to try to draw out some of the details of this short story and set them beside recent stories that we've read in Mark, which Mark has included in his gospel. Mark has intentionally set the story of Bartimaeus in juxtaposition, which is a fancy word for saying that you set two things beside each other to compare and contrast them. He set these things in juxtaposition with other preceding stories. If you're taking notes and you want to write down an overall point of the sermon, the overall point today is that the story of the healing, the story of Jesus healing blind Bartimaeus is a picture of salvation, a picture of what it looks like for an adult to receive the kingdom of God like a child. I'll say that again. The overall point is that the story of Jesus healing blind Bartimaeus is a picture of salvation, a picture of what it looks like for an adult to receive the kingdom of God like a child. Verse 46 sets the stage for our story. And they came to Jericho, as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. So here we encounter Jesus. He's been on the road with his disciples heading to Jerusalem. They've come into Jericho, they've passed through, and now they're leaving. Other Gospels include some stories about things that happened in Jericho, like the meeting of Zacchaeus, the wee little man who climbed up the sycamore tree. But Mark just doesn't include all those details, but it comes to the story of Bartimaeus here. Jesus is leaving town, headed to Jerusalem, ultimately to die, to suffer persecution and die, and to rise again. And a large crowd is following him. Who's Bartimaeus? We encounter many people in the Bible, in the Gospels, that aren't named. It's just a woman of Samaria, a woman at the well. But Bartimaeus, we get his full name, and it's possibly because the audience would know who he is. Maybe he is a member of the Jerusalem church or of the Christian church somewhere. That this is somebody that they can go to and say, "Yeah, you're Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. I know that guy, and he was healed of his blindness." We're given a specific name, which happens frequently, I think, when it's someone they would know and can validate the story. Bartimaeus is the son of Timaeus. He Timaeus is derived from a Greek word, timaeo, which means to honor. So Timaeus is a name that means something like highly honored or highly prized. And so we have blind Bartimaeus begging outside Jericho, son of a man who is highly honored, highly prized. So we'll continue. Verse 40. So we've got the setup here. Bartimaeus is sitting on the roadside. Verse 47. And when he, Bartimaeus, heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So point one, as a picture of salvation, Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus can help him, and he cries out to Jesus. So as a picture of salvation, Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus can help him, and he cries out to Jesus. So I mentioned that he knows that Jesus is the Christ. What in the passage indicates that Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is the Christ, God's chosen deliverer, because he calls him son of David? Bartimaeus is the only person in the Gospel of Mark to call Jesus son of David. Why this time? And what does it mean? One indication of this is from Mark chapter 12, verse 35. This is a part we haven't gotten to yet, but something that Jesus... So if you turn over to Mark 12, 35 for a moment, keep your finger in Mark 10. Mark 12, 35 through 37. And as Jesus, he said, how can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, I put your enemies under your feet. David himself calls him Lord. So how is he his son? And the great throng heard him gladly. The part of that I want to point out is that there was a common and correct teaching of the scribes that the Christ is the son of David. Son of David means that Christ would be a descendant of Israel's greatest king, David, and the true heir of the throne of Israel. As we had read earlier today in 2 Samuel 7, God had promised David that he would establish his throne forever, and yet here they are, and a man sits on the throne of Israel who was appointed by the Romans, is not really Jewish, and he's certainly not a descendant of David. So the people of Israel were looking for a king, son of David, to come and sit on the throne to expel the Romans. They had all kinds of expectations of him, but they were expecting someone, a son of David, to come. And so Bartimaeus was expecting that. And the scribes further taught the Christ, the coming deliverer, would be a son of David. For Bartimaeus to use this title, son of David, along with the expectation that Jesus can actually do something about his blindness, which we get to later in the story, is a strong indication that Bartimaeus believed Jesus to be the Christ, not just a king, but more than a king, someone with the power to have mercy on him, to take care of his need. There's more to Mark 12:35, that passage that we'll get to, that Daniel or another who's preaching on that will get to in the coming week, so I'll leave that for them. But the point here is, again, just to point out that the scribes taught that the Christ would be a son of David. Bartimaeus calls out to Jesus as the son of David with the expectation that Jesus can actually do something about his blindness. This is Bartimaeus believing that Jesus is the Christ and calling out to him like that. As a picture of salvation, Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus can help him, and he cries out to Jesus. So going on, let's continue reading Mark 10:48. So go back to Mark 10. And many rebuked him, Bartimaeus again, and many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy! This is not first time that we've seen rebukes given to people trying to get Jesus' attention. We've had a recent story where this happened back in Mark 10, verse 13 through 16. So probably on the same page in your Bible. People had been bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. And we'll pick up in verse 14 of Mark 10. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. The text says that Jesus was indignant with his disciples for rebuking the people trying to bring the children to him. And he teaches that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it, which begs the question, what does it look like for an adult to enter the kingdom of God like a child? That brings us to point number two. As a picture of salvation, Bartimaeus receives the kingdom of God like a child. Bartimaeus was insistent and would not be silenced. I have four boys, ages 3 to 10, and all scattered in there. And there are many times they want to get my attention, and they won't let their brothers shut them down. Their brothers may be quiet. I've got some need. I want to play the video game, or I want to go swimming, or any number of things that they want. But they will insistently try to get my attention, and they will not be shut up for it. And they come to me expecting that I can do things for them that they can't do for themselves. They act like children like that. Well, Bartimaeus, he needed Jesus, and now was the only chance he may ever have. We may at times feel like we have all the time in the world to do things. In many parts of life, it pays off to have a long-term view, a long time horizon, to save, thrifty, to invest. But when it comes to getting right with God, to knowing Jesus, we're not to play that long game. My next heartbeat isn't guaranteed, let alone some uncertain date in the future that I can put this off for. Right now is the time to seek and follow Jesus when we hear His voice. As we read in Hebrews 4:7, which is quoting from the Psalm, Hebrews 4:7, again He appoints a certain date today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, "Today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." God appoints a certain day today, so if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Without being trained with great discipline, a child naturally has a very short time horizon. They want instant gratification. I need it now, and nobody better get in my way. That's the way a child thinks. It's hard to get a child to save and invest without good discipline and training. That's their natural state. Well, Bartimaeus was desperate. It's now or never for him. He's blind. He can't follow Jesus on the way. Jesus is already leaving town. This is the end of it. If he doesn't see Jesus now, he's not going to see him as best he could ever know again in the future. So he who hesitates is lost, and Bartimaeus does not hesitate. So quick question. Do you need to be made right with God through faith in Jesus' atoning work on the cross? Are you under some conviction to be made right with... are you under some conviction of some action you need to take to repent to your wife and kids for being angry, to do any number of things? If so, seek the kingdom of God like a child, like a Bartimaeus, without delay, without hesitation, and refusing to let anyone or anything hold you back from your obedience and seeking the Lord. Let's continue reading verse 49 to 50. And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. So before going any farther with the points, I just want to point out that Jesus had his followers call Bartimaeus himself. He didn't just yell out, and it was only Jesus' voice that he heard calling him. In fact, he had his disciples, his followers, call Bartimaeus to himself. So if you had any lingering doubt on that last point, where I said, today if you hear his voice, like, well, I don't hear the voice of God specifically myself. If you have any doubt about that, know from the passage here itself that Jesus speaks through other people. Most people who have ever heard Jesus have heard him speaking through his disciples, through his followers. I've never heard the audible voice of God myself, yet God has spoken to me. And I know that is the case for a great many of you, that God has spoken to you through his word and through his followers speaking that word to you. So as a picture of salvation, Jesus calls Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus casts off his possessions and goes to Jesus. As a picture of salvation, Jesus calls Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus casts off his possessions and goes to Jesus. These two verses, where Jesus calls Bartimaeus and Bartimaeus comes to him, are in contrast with another we've read recently in Mark. In Mark 10, 17 through 31, the account of the rich young man who came to Jesus. Just to summarize it, the rich young man asks Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life, to which Jesus replies, to keep the commandments. And the young man says, well, I've done all these things from my youth. And Jesus looked at the rich young man, says it he loved him, and he tells him to go sell all he has and to give to the poor, then come follow me. Now, to point out, Jesus doesn't require this of most people. But loving this man, Jesus knew the man had an idol in his heart. The man had an idol of his wealth. And so out of love, he tells him to give to the poor and come follow me. But instead of doing what Jesus said, the young man went away disheartened and sorrowful because he had great possessions. So here's the contrast. Where the rich young man turned away from Jesus disheartened because he had great wealth, the blind beggar Bartimaeus is told to take heart, he is calling you. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar in the midst of a large crowd, takes heart and basically casts aside all he has in the world without being asked to and goes to Jesus. Okay, so I have never been blind, obviously. So I have to use my imagination. So picture yourself here. Close your eyes. Maybe be blindfolded in the midst of a large crowd. And set down your purse, set down your wallet, set down your coat, something like that. And wander through the crowd off some distance. Will you ever find that thing again? If you remain in that state, blindfolded or blind, however you're imagining yourself, will you find your possessions again in the midst of a large crowd? It's unlikely. Without some great help, some great fortune, that you would come back to these things. For all intents and purposes, if Bartimaeus were to remain blind, he'd be unlikely to ever recover his cloak. And a cloak was a valuable thing in that day and age. It's not just where we have a closet full of possessions and I pick my one coat out of six I've got hanging there. He has one. Bartimaeus has his cloak and he casts it aside. Where the rich man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions, Bartimaeus counted his meager possessions as worthless compared to the surpassing greatness of going to Jesus. So as a picture of salvation, Jesus calls Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus willingly just casts off his possessions and goes to Jesus. Again, I want to make the point, God's not calling all of us to make ourselves destitute and cast off all our possessions, but if you find yourself with an idol of your possessions, that may be what God is calling to you to do. So what is Jesus calling you to do? Take heart, get up. He is calling you. There's a cost to obedience for sure. That cost may be in obeying what Christ is telling you to do. An uncomfortable conversation with a family member, confessing your sin, or even confronting them in their own. Take heart, get up. He is calling you. The cost may be being considered foolish by the world for trusting in the wisdom of God and exposing yourself to its rebukes. If that's the case, take heart, get up. He is calling you. He is calling you to do that. There are places in the Western world where if you refuse to call light dark and dark light, use the approved politically correct language, you may face hate crimes charges. It seems like these kind of things are only getting worse in the world as I read in the news. Take heart, get up. He is calling you. The cost is worth it. Take heart, get up. He's calling you. He is calling you. So like Bartimaeus, cast off whatever hinders you from following Christ and go to him. The next point from the passage, before I read the next verse, the next point is that as a picture of salvation brings his needs to Jesus. As a picture of salvation, Bartimaeus brings his needs to Jesus. Reading on in verse 51, we read, "And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.'" So Jesus' question, "What do you want me to do for you?" should sound familiar. Last week, in fact, Daniel preached from Mark 10, 35 through 45, the passage immediately preceding this. Where James and John also come to Jesus with a request, to which Jesus asks, "What do you want for you?" Now, as we read in the accounts throughout the Gospels, Jesus doesn't normally ask this. In this case, he could perceive that Bartimaeus was blind. And Jesus is wise. He can quite tell what the man physical problem is. He's blind. Yet Jesus asks this anyway. What do you want me to do for you? Why? Why does he ask that? There are only two times that this question is asked, and they're right beside each other in the Gospel of Mark here. Mark intends for us to see Bartimaeus' request in contrast to the disciples' request, to the request of James and John. We're supposed to see a contrast here. James and John had asked for power and honor, as Daniel preached last week. They sought for power and honor, and Jesus mildly rebukes them. You don't know what you're asking for. And goes on to teach them that whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. So a question maybe come up as you're reading this for the first time. Well, does Jesus answer people's requests? Or should we stop asking him for anything? What kind of request is acceptable to Jesus? James and John had asked for honor. Bartimaeus' father's name, Timaeus, is derived from the Greek word to honor. Timaeus means, as I mentioned earlier, greatly honored. And so blind Bartimaeus, who had been begging on the side of the road, did not come seeking power or honor or wealth or anything pretentious like that. Bartimaeus wanted to see. He had a need. And as a picture of salvation, Bartimaeus brings his need to Jesus. So how does Jesus answer him? In verse 52, we find the answer. And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. So the next point. As a picture of salvation, Bartimaeus is made well by his faith. He recovers his sight and goes on his way following Jesus. I'll repeat that again. As a picture of salvation, Bartimaeus is made well by his faith, recovers his sight, and goes his way following Jesus. Notice first that this healing is different from another blind man that was healed in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark 8:22, which, just to recount it, is a story where Jesus heals this blind man in stages, using spit in his hands, with an really interesting part about how the blind man, after Jesus first lays his spits and lays his hands on his eyes, he looks up and he says, "See people moving, but they look like trees moving." And then Jesus finally heals him. I would say this was done for illustrative purposes, as an illustration. In Mark 10:52, where we're at this morning, Jesus heals the man immediately. The man is healed by grace, by the grace of God, through his faith. Jesus plainly says that his faith is the reason he has been made well. There was no need to use his spit or hands or anything like that. It happened immediately. When Jesus chooses to do that, that's for his illustrative purposes. He's not bound by any constraints. Healing miracles, as we encounter them in the Bible, were something that happened only a few brief times, a few brief periods of biblical history. Miracles were used at certain times to validate the authority of a prophet or apostle, to validate their teaching. In truth, our greatest need is to have our souls healed, to have our spiritual blindness removed, so that we can see ourselves and God in the light of truth. Physical limitations, like blindness or deafness or anything of that nature, are fleeting in the light of eternity. They only last for a short period of time relative to eternity. But spiritual death, on the other hand, is forever. Physical healing, even in the case of Bartimaeus, was the lesser miracle here. Not the norm throughout history. In my own testimony, I remember the day I had grown up in church. I had grown up going to every church event there was. But I was in my young 20s, and I came to understand that I wasn't a believer. I had gone to college and had all kinds of classes that taught me that the Gospels were in contradiction to himself. Jesus was just a man. He wasn't miraculous or God. All kinds of blasphemies. But things that I didn't understand, I didn't know how to answer. And so As I was driving home one day, I was on 410 near 35, driving. I remember specifically just praying to Christ that I know He's real. I know I haven't been following Him, asking to save me and ask Him to give me understanding of these things later. I didn't understand, but I asked Him to give me that. I asked, in effect, to have my spiritual blindness removed and to understand His truth, even not understanding what that looked like. Life was made well. Grace of God through faith in Christ was healed from spiritual blindness and went on my way following Jesus. And I want to hone in on that last part, where Bartimaeus goes on his way following Jesus. The actual language of it says immediately he recovered his sight and followed Him on the way. The second contrast I'm going to draw from the story of the rich young man, about that earlier, and we're coming back to it again. The story of the rich young man presents itself with what Jesus told Bartimaeus. So the rich young ruler was told to come follow me, but he went away disheartened on his own way because he loved his possessions. Bartimaeus, without even being asked to, just cast off his possessions and was told to go on his own way. And yet he went on to follow Jesus. So don't miss this. Come follow me to the rich man, and he went on his way. Go your way to Bartimaeus, and yet he followed Jesus. Bartimaeus wasn't really disobeying Jesus here, because there's no contradiction. He did go on his way because his way was to go wherever Jesus was going. That is his way. His new way is to go wherever Jesus is going. It's similar to the way I've always taken Psalm 37:4, which says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." When you delight yourself in the Lord becomes the desire of your heart, and He gives Himself to you. There's no contradiction here. And so for Bartimaeus to be told, go on your way and to follow Jesus anyway, there's no contradiction. His way is to go Jesus' way. And that's the case for us as believers. When we are given much freedom in Christ, in what we will do vocationally, in things with our life and decisions, and we can go on our way. And if we're following Christ, our own way is still His way. It is going with Christ. So if I can wrap this up to conclude this short story. The story of Jesus healing Bartimaeus is a picture of salvation, a picture of what it looks like for an adult to receive the kingdom of God like a child. Like Bartimaeus, God would have you to know that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ and is your only hope. Receive the kingdom of God like a little child, seeking God with perseverance and insistence, even in the face of great opposition from the world. Like Bartimaeus, take heart and cast aside anything hindering you from going to Jesus, and go. Like Bartimaeus, we need to see truth, and Jesus is pleased to receive our request to do that. Like Bartimaeus, we are saved by Christ on the basis of our faith and are to follow Him on our way. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Oh, Father, I thank You that You've included this short story of Your kindness and mercy toward Bartimaeus. You heard him calling out to You as You had led him to do so. He called out to You, and You called him to Yourself through Your followers, O Jesus. And then You heard his request and healed him. O Lord, I pray that we would take our requests to You, that we would see our desperate need at all times to understand truth, the wisdom of God that is perceived by the Spirit. O Lord, I pray that You would grant us eyes to see, understand, and the faith to follow You on our way as we follow You. Oh Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.